And Happy New Year, of course. It's good to see you. And what a great video that was, and such a worthy cause for each of us to consider and pray about getting behind. And of course, the Cliff Keen offering is something that starts in the beginning of December and runs through the end of January. And as God leads your heart, you're welcome to contribute to that, as you see it services many different outreaches and ministries that the church has. And it's definitely a worthy cause, an opportunity for you to get plugged in and involved with that. Now, a new year, and we have hopefully some new goals, but we're going to approach it a little bit differently this year. As we turn the calendar each year, we're filled with a certain amount of hope and promise. And this natural optimism is because in our minds we set aside the turn of the calendar and we designate it as a time for a new start. Perhaps there's somebody in our family, somebody who we live with that we want to be nicer to this year. We want to have a new start in that relationship. Perhaps there's a to-do list that we have, and we have things we want to mark off and do. Maybe it's losing weight. Maybe it's gaining weight, joining a gym. Maybe it's completing some degree or some course of study or some hobby. And we have a list of things that we want to do, and as the calendar year has turned, we're ready to jump in. However, by the end of the month, all of the weight we lost in the first 2 weeks, we've gained back. Okay? That person that we said that we were going to be nicer to and love more and be more patient, we're not on speaking terms with them. And that to-do list that we have, who knows where it is? It's gotten thrown out somewhere. It was written on a napkin anyway at midnight. And so our new start has essentially become old news. And if you're like me, your spiritual life is no different. At the turn of the year, our goal is to pray more, perhaps, to give more, to attend church faithfully, to serve more, to be more loving. After all, we've got to be like Christ to people, to be patient with those people who exasperate us, and especially those people who push our buttons. And some of us live with people who push our buttons, and they know how to do it. And so we have these goals, but when reality sets in, the same thing is true. That new start becomes old news. And each year, round and round, we go. But my friends, not this year. Not this year for your marriage. Not this year for raising your children. Not this year for your family who you care about. Not this year for the goals that you have. And especially not this year for your walk with God. This is going to be not just a new start. I want to share with you this morning something that's going to last you for all 12 months. I want to share with you how to have a fresh start with God. Because a new start becomes old, but there's something about having a fresh start with God. Now, how do you have a fresh start with God? I'm going to share five different concepts with you over the month of January that I believe will carry you all through the year. The first one is the most important, because if we don't get this down, we might as well just shut down the shop and not talk about any of the rest of them. The first one I want to talk with you about this morning, and it fits right in line with what Mary and Joseph did with Jesus after he was born. I want to talk with you about dedicating your life to the Lord. Dedication to God is so important. And if you had to have a definition, if you wanted to write this down in your notes, you can flip over your program, and right there is all the notes for you, including the scripture that I'm going to teach from this morning. If you had to write down a working definition of what dedicate means throughout the Holy Scriptures, it means this: to give oneself completely to God. To give oneself completely to God. Now you can, you know, translate that in other areas. If you were to be a dedicated athlete, to dedicate yourself to one sport. If you were a musician, to dedicate yourself to the playing of instruments. If you're a student, well, hopefully dedicating yourself to studying. And on we go. But as we studied in the Bible, dedicating oneself to God is primary. In fact, I would label dedication to God as your primary action of worship. Dedication to God is your primary action of worship. Everything else is secondary. In fact, everything else is founded upon my heart and your heart's ability to say, I'm dedicated to God. Because when we give to the Lord, when we take an offering, that's worship. When we serve God, that's worship. When we pray, that's worship. When we breathe and we do it for the honor of God, that's worship. But all of it is just performing religious duties if we're first not dedicated to God in our heart. So then this begs the question, what is dedicatable? And that's not even a word, but I'm inventing a word this morning. What could I dedicate to God? We're going to talk about a number of things you can dedicate to God. But since it's January the 3rd and we've just turned the calendar, I want to talk with you about dedicating your year to God and letting this set the course for you as a believer, as a Christian. Now, what if you came here today and you're not a Christian? You're saying, you know, I just got forced to come here and I'm going to just come here and get this over with. Or maybe you're here because somebody said, well, it's the beginning of the year. You might as well start your year off in church. I want to commend all of you for being here, for starting your year off in church. But you need to listen over these next few minutes. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord for 30 years or you just walked in and you're trying to see if this stuff works. This is a formula not just for success, material success. This is a formula to draw you closer to God. And after all, that's what it's all about. So what can we dedicate to God? We could dedicate our year to Him. Now, to find wisdom, biblically speaking, there's a number of passages we can go through in the Bible, from the Old to the New Testament. But since we're coming in out of the Christmas season and we've just talked about the birth of Christ, let's look at the dedication of Jesus by His parents, found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. And it's there where Luke records Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to Jerusalem to dedicate Him. And this is one of the passages that we'll use sometimes when we have baby dedications at church. But it's appropriate to look at this through the lens of practicality. That God wants you and I to have a working faith. Not just a faith that's on the shelf. We take it out, we use it on Sunday so we look religious, and then we put it back and we'll pick it up again on Sunday. God has given us this faith so that it can be something that works for us. Something that works us closer to Him and something that grows us spiritually speaking. So we pick up Luke chapter 2, verse 22. It says this of Mary, "Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought Him," and that Him is Jesus, "to Jerusalem." And notice the word, "to present Him to the Lord." Now verse 23 is a quote from the Old Testament, which we'll discuss in a moment. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Speaking of calling the male the firstborn, that's what that means, who opens the womb. Verse 24, "and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord." And now this sounds familiar from the song that we sing, "a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons." Now this reminds us, okay, now we're all on the same page. Yeah, the song, two turtle doves. What's happening in this passage? Mary and Joseph, first of all, they're obeying the laws of the Old Testament, but they're also obeying the Spirit of God because they're dedicating Jesus to God. They're taking the most precious thing in their life and they're saying, "God, You've given Him to us. He's Yours. We dedicate Him back to You." Now, my friends, I want to set the course for you. I want to set the course for our church and for my own personal life, my own family as well. Life works a lot better when we have the focus, "God, it's Yours. God, I dedicate this to You." My friends, that's Christian maturity. We can be a brat and be a baby and say, "No, my time, no, my things, and this is my life, and I'll do what I want with it. And I'll look good, I'll sing the songs, and I'll quote the Bible, and I'll look spiritual, but my life's about me, and God, I'll ask You to bless me when I need You." And we usually treat God like a dignitary at a ball game. You know, when somebody throws out the first pitch, they tip their hat to the mayor in the front row or some other politician or dignitary. And that's usually what we do with God. When the year turns, we just tip our hat to God and say, "God, You just bless me. God, You give me what I need in this year, and we're going to be okay together." That's a formula, not for spiritual growth, but for spiritual regression. You will regress in your faith. I don't care how spiritual you think you are, how spiritual I think I am. That's not a new start. That's a selfish start. We need a fresh start. We need to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. So write this first principle down. How do we dedicate our year to God? First and foremost, we need to determine what matters most annually. Determine annually what matters most. Now, annually we do our taxes. Annually we might renew our homeowner's insurance or our apartment insurance, hopefully our auto insurance, because if not, the bill from the DMV is $7 a day. There's a little free information for you. How do I know that? By experience. There's things we do annually, but just by who we are, by how our society is set up. And I think, as a Christian, and even if you walked in here today and you're trying to see if this works for you, every year, the turn of a calendar, it won't just be a frustrating period, well, I'm going to fail eventually, but it could be an outlook of a fresh start with God. And what you do, how you do that, is you determine annually what matters most. Now, what are the things that matter most to you in your life? Perhaps your family, hopefully your family. Could be a job matters most to you. Could be your health, your body. And all those things are appropriate to dedicate to God. But start off with your year and say, God, another year of life, that's precious. You know, some people didn't make it through 2009. Some people went home to be with the Lord yesterday or on January 1st. And so each day we have is a precious gift. It was David who said, teach me to number my days. And so a year, don't just look at, oh, another year. It's a blessing. We need to start out with a different outlook with that, a fresh start. Oh, somebody said online the other day, a new year, a new set of problems. That's true. But if you have a fresh start with God, you can have a new way of dealing with those new problems. See, my friends, when we start out and we say, God, this year is for you, what we're doing is we're changing our perspective. Now, usually when we dedicate things to God, it's for our benefit, right? I'm going to dedicate this new home or this new speaker to God because I want Him to bless it. There's nothing wrong with desiring God's blessing. But if the only reason why we dedicate things to God is to get something out of Him, we're starting it off on a selfish foot. What if you and I had a friendship, and hopefully if I know you, we do. And my only reason for being a friend to you is, to be dedicated to you, is so I can get something out of you. Now, what kind of relationship is that? It's a surface relationship. I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, and that's it. We'll call it a wash. I want to share something with you. That's what a number of people in our day and age in the pulpit are teaching. That you just hang in there with God so He can give you what you want. But what happens by February and March? It's not true. We don't get everything we want. And then that's why our commitment to God slides off, because we think God cheated us. And we raise our fist to God, oh, God, how can you do this? Oh, wait a minute. I'm in this thing. I love God, but I'm in this thing for Him to give to me. That's not a good formula for any relationship, especially with God. So when I talk about dedication, and maybe if you're new to the church, you might say, how does this guy teach? Did he just fall off a truck? Look how he's dressed. He don't even wear a suit to church. Does he have papers? Is he licensed? Yeah, they're back at the office. Trust me, they are. I know them. I'm still paying for those papers that are on the wall, student loans. This is a fundamental difference of how Crossroad Church teaches. We don't say you be in this relationship with God so you get what you want, because that's a bait and switch. What we teach from this Bible and from this pulpit or this music stand, whatever you call it, is that you dedicate yourself to God first and foremost for His glory and His honor. And that is what matters most. And so look at your life and say, what matters most? Now, I've given you three sub-areas here, okay? And you'll notice them. Struggles, stresses, and successes. Can we say that together? Struggles, stresses, and successes. Those are going to be three sub-areas for what you're to determine to be important in your life. Now, you might say, Ray, successes? Yes. The things that you're blessed with. And we're going to take it from successes and work our way back to struggles. The things that you've been blessed with. And remember what God told Abraham? I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. I haven't blessed you so you can be a fat cat and be selfish. I've blessed you so you can bless other people. So whatever God has blessed you with, the successes in your life, say, God, I dedicate them to you. Those are important. You've blessed me with this. You've blessed me with that. And I dedicate that to you. Now, believe it or not, your stresses. Now, if you're sitting next to one of your stresses, don't turn and look at them, okay? Because you might be their stress. your stresses. You might say, oh, God doesn't want my stresses, you know. Yes, he does. Jesus gave an open door policy. Come to me, all those who are heavy burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants you to come with the things that are causing unrest in your life, the stresses that you have, and he wants you to determine that that's important. See, again, in the Christian life, we teach people not to be real. We teach them to be fake. How you doing? Oh, great. Everything's great. Meanwhile, our life's falling apart. It's okay to be real and say, I'm struggling in this area. It's okay to be real and say, I had a fight with my wife. It's okay to say, I slipped with my tongue. It's okay to say, I put my fist through the wall because I was a knucklehead. I let my anger get the best. And on you go. You just fill in the blank there. We all have stresses that eat us up. And instead of saying, you know what, I'm not going to curse anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore at this person. That's what we're doing is it's like a diet. We're reinforcing, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, but that chocolate cake looks good. I'm not going to eat, oh, it's got chocolate chips on the top. You know, that's negative reinforcement. And we do that, that's how we start a new year off. I'm not going to do this. We're just reinforcing what we're eventually going to do, which is not good. But instead, let's dedicate that to the Lord. I got to get this under control. You know what a cop-out we hear all the time? Well, that's just how I am. That's just how she is. That's a cop-out. Because if you know Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ has redeemed you, my friends, you can truly come under the control of Christ in every area of your life. Now, you won't be perfect, but you can come under the control of Christ. It's possible, regardless of what the people who exasperate you have told you. Our stresses, and of course, our struggles. All of us have struggles. All of us are eaten up by bad habits that we have. All of us are giving in to certain temptations that are not good for us. All of us have succumbed in 2009 to those things which we wish we didn't. And maybe even the calendar year is only 3 days old. But maybe we've already given in to a few temptations here or there. So, whatever struggles we have, whatever temptations we're struggling with, let's determine that to be important this year and say, I'm going to give that to the Lord. Now, to our context here. In verse 22, it says, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed. Now, what does that mean? A woman was considered ceremonially unclean after she gave birth to a male child. And it was typically a 40-day period which completed her cycle of purification. And then after that was over, she was then with her husband to come and to bring the child before the Lord and present the child to the Lord. And so that's what it actually says. She's following right what it says in the Old Testament. And if you look on your outline, I've written down Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. You can go there and look at that. And if I have time, I'll turn there as well this morning. But it's there where God says that we're to dedicate children, the firstborn. And we're to keep on going with all our children when we do that. But it says, after she completed her days of purification, according to the law of Moses, they, and that's Joseph and Mary, they brought him, that being Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him. And you want to circle that word present. That word, as we study it in its original language and we dig deep, it means dedication. It means to dedicate something, in this case, a child. That's why at Crossroads, we don't baptize infants. Oh, I can't believe it. They don't baptize infants. No. That's because the Bible doesn't baptize infants. There's not like 9 out of 10 baptisms are done this way. There are no baptism of infants in the Bible. Why? Because they don't. Baptism is something you need to know what you're doing. Okay, it's kind of important. You know, Jesus kind of said it's something that we're to do. And so we dedicate infants because the goal is, Lord, this is the life you've blessed us with. And it makes sense if you think about it. This is the life you've given us as a family. We dedicate this life to you. Use this child for your purposes. And we pray that this child grows up to know you and to be baptized on their own accord. That's very appropriate to do that. Of course, they're following the laws of the Old Testament, but it's something we do today as a symbol that we respect and honor and attribute work to the Lord. And so we got to determine annually what matters. Now, throughout the year, you can dedicate other things to God. And I got a list here for you, okay? You could start each day off by dedicating it to God. See, either you wake up regretting that it's the morning and going, good God, it's the morning, or you wake up going, thank God, it's the morning. Depends what your perspective is. But you can start each day off with just doing a breath prayer, with saying, thank you for this day, and I give it back to you. Just start each day off with that. That takes like 10 seconds to do. You can dedicate each week by starting it in church, being here regularly, on time, and saying, I'm ready to worship. You could rededicate your heart when we have communion services. That's why you should attend the communion service if you're able to, and it correlates with your work schedule. And one of our goals in 2010, and if you want to say amen after this, is to provide regular communion services. Anybody want to say amen to that? Amen, right? So we're going to be doing that more. We have some cool plans for how we're going to work that into the schedule. Why? Because one of our goals this year is to make sure that we're clicking on all cylinders in growing our people spiritually. And dedication is so important. And so communion is a great time to come and rededicate your heart before the Lord. Now, Easter is coming up, believe it or not, March 28th, and then it just goes, Palm Sunday starts the 28th. That's a wonderful time during the year to rededicate your walk to God. Think of that like your spiritual new year, if you will. To say, God, you know, this is where I am and this is where I want to go, and I want to give my... The Holy Week is a great time to take inventory of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and to recommit your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And now today, as we're talking on January the 3rd, we dedicate our year, we can dedicate our family, we can dedicate our relationships, we can dedicate our job, our schooling, and the list goes on. And throughout the Bible, we see Solomon dedicating the temple. We see in Ezra them dedicating the second temple. And of course, and we go on and on, we see Hannah dedicating Samuel. Dedication is fundamental to your worship. And if you want to live the fresh start life with God, we got to be people who dedicate ourselves to God. Now, write this last point down. We determine annually what's important. We need to do that. Determine annually what matters most in your life. You get out a list, you write it down, and you do it. Maybe you get married this year, okay, or maybe you're expecting this year. Whatever it is, it's important to you, my friends, it's important to God. Secondly, designate daily your resources to God. Designate daily your resources to God. Now, they didn't go empty-handed when they went to dedicate Jesus. This is what they did. And it says this in verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now, this first tells us that Mary and Joseph economically were poor, because the requirement was what? A lamb. But they couldn't afford a lamb, so the next steps down were a turtle dove. Now, why are they making an offering? Well, you may have guessed. This was to cover original sin. This was to present the offering. Now, I got good news for you. When we stand here this morning and we talk about designating our resources for God, we're not saying you need to do this so that God forgives you. We're not talking about advanced forgiveness here, because forgiveness has already been made through Jesus Christ. Atonement has already been made. That's why they did these sacrifices, was to atone for sin. But as we know, what was predicted in the Old Testament, what came to pass in the life of Jesus Christ, that the Lamb of God was coming, that He was coming to atone for sin, that He was coming to make the once and for all sacrifice, He was coming to be our propitiation. Therefore, there's been a game change moment for you and I. When you and I designate our resources to God, it's not something we're doing out of an obligation. It's an opportunity to say thank you to God for His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to designate whatever we have to God. It's a privilege to give to God, not a burden. It's a blessing, because we're doing it in response to what He has done for us. Mary and Joseph were following the letter of the Lord like they should have. You and I need to follow what God says, but we take it a step further in the spirit of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We give to God in response to how He has given to us. We set aside an offering. Now, you'll notice the word sacrifice in your outline and in the Holy Scriptures. Again, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, and you can read all there what Mary and Joseph were doing and why. But the word sacrifice, I love when you talk about giving. Because that's what giving really is. It should be sacrificial. It's going to cost us something. See, in the Christian life, we teach people, first of all, we pester people with giving. And whenever we talk about giving, we relegate it just to money. And everybody thinks all the church wants is their money. And listen, I can't tell you how other places are. I can only speak for our place here. That's not our agenda. Giving is multifaceted. It's like a diamond. We should give financially. It's part of our worship. And if we're cheaping God out, I know a lot of people like to teach we're robbing God because there's a scripture that says that, but that's bad theology. He owns a cattle on a thousand hill. He knows everything. He's everywhere. You can't rob God because He's God. It's impossible to rob God. You know who you're robbing? Yourself. That's who we're robbing. We're robbing ourselves of the blessing that comes from being sacrificial. When we change our mind with that, it takes our giving to a whole different level. So we should give to the Lord. And you know what? You might have nothing to give financially, but you can serve. Maybe you're in a dry spot right now, financially speaking. You're out of work. Well, God doesn't want you to not eat. It's things that God has you to do. But if you're making a decent living and you're still giving the same amount you've been given for 5 or 10 years, we're being cheap then. We need to be sacrificial. We need to say, God, I designate this for you, not out of obligation, out of an opportunity to dedicate that which you've given to me back over to you. Now, there's areas that we dedicate to God, and I have them listed here for you. First and foremost, our time. As I told you last week when we talked about the story of the wise men, your most precious commodity, believe it or not, is not that shirt you have on. Oh, I love this shirt. I got it from JCPenney's on sale. Believe it or not, it's not your most important commodity. My car, it's not your most important commodity. Your most important commodity is your time. As we said last week, you spell love, T-I-M-E. When you give your time to somebody, it symbolizes your love. And so, we need to designate our time for God. Just as Mary and Joseph made that journey to Jerusalem to designate their son, they determined that this is important, to follow God and to do those things. Following what the Old Testament says, remembering what it says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, that God said, it's all mine. When we have that mentality, we designate our time and say, God, I want to use my time wisely. I know I got to work, I got to eat, I got to sleep, but I know I got to have time with you. I got to have time with you. That's important. That's even more important than the TV, of all things. Oh, God, strike him with lightning for talking about the TV. You know, Jen and I moved over the Christmas season, the holidays, and we didn't have TV for about 5 days. It was great. It was great. I'm telling you, our communication was better. We fought a little bit more. Maybe that's why. But yeah, listen, marriages, okay? It happens. And eventually, you know, she saw that I was right on all the issues. No, I'm just kidding. See, when Jen is sick and home with the baby, I can do this. If she was here today, I couldn't do that. But no, I usually learn that Jen's usually right like 99% of the time. Okay. I had to say that because the messages are taped. So, no. But anyway, back to the point. We're able to communicate more. The TV's not distracting us. I found myself wanting to pray more of all things. See, my point, the TV's not bad, but listen, we have so many things that distract us. That are neutral. TV's neutral. It's not good or bad. It depends what you put on, of course. And there's other things. Computers, iPod this, and iTouch, and iPhone, and I feel. And I mean, so many I things. I mean, there's so many things. We have so many things to distract us. And when we're distracted, distraction is the enemy of designating. We got to designate what God has given to us. Our time is so important. Secondly, our talents. Let me be your cheerleader. God has blessed you in certain ways, regardless of what anybody else has told you. And you got to use your talents. You got to designate that for God. Don't just use them for yourself. I want to just be upfront and honest with you. You will not grow spiritually to the potential that God has willed for you if you're sitting on your talents, if you're sitting on your blessed assurance. God wants you to get up and get in the game. See, when we talk about designating and delegating, and we talk about determining, and we talk about ultimately dedicating, I was looking up quotes for my message, and every quote that I found was for the purpose of dedicating yourself so you can have success. And not that there's anything wrong with that. Vince Lombardi or famous painters or famous singers, and dedicate this and this will happen. But if you and I could say, I'm going to dedicate my talents to the Lord, I designate it for Him, for His purposes and His glory, my friends, that's going to draw you closer to God. And you're going to know it. See, you can be in the center of a storm right now, but if you're in the center of God's will, you'll have peace. You can be in the center of a temptation, and the winds of the enemy could be swirling around you to do this and do that, which you shouldn't. But if you're in the center of God's will, you have His peace. You can be in the center of death. You could be looking at a loved one pass from this life to the next, and of course you're filled with the grief and the emotion that comes with that. But you could still have peace, because you know that the angels are coming. You know that God has reserved a spot for that person in heaven. And even though you're in the center of the darkest hour of your life, you know that there's no goodbyes in Jesus Christ. See, when we designate ourselves that way to God, it changes everything for us, doesn't it? And that's how it should be. See, we can get up here, I can get up here and tell you, it's all going to be great for you in 2010. You listen, the promotions are coming, and you're going to drop 30 pounds, and you're going to find 20 bucks if you look on the street corner, and all your best days are ahead of you. I'd be lying. I don't know that. It's positive thinking. It's positive teaching. Nothing wrong with that, but if that's the foundation for our spirituality, that's not good. What needs to be the foundation is I'm dedicated to the Lord. I'm in it for His glory. And I designate my talents for Him. And then lastly, I designate my treasures for Him. All that He's blessed me with, the things that I treasure, I designate for Him. Wasn't it Jesus who said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? And I want to encourage you not to let the trivial things of this life get in the way of you designating your treasures to God. Especially all the talk of how the economy is and how this is and how that is. Allow me to read you a story of a single mom and her grocery money. Nancy was a single mother with young children. Her ex-husband sent her only a small amount of grocery money every week, so small it couldn't even feed one person, much less her family of four growing bellies. But Nancy decided to begin giving to God from her little bit of grocery money and to trust Him to provide. Now you're going to like this. This is really cool. Shortly after that, she got a job with a cookbook company. The company paid, now notice it, the company paid Nancy to go grocery shopping and prepare meals so they could take photographs for their cookbooks. Now there was only one catch. When they were done taking the pictures, they didn't want the food. Nancy could keep the food that Nancy purchased and prepared. That's an amazing story of God's goodness and how God rewards us when we take a step and we say, God, I designate this for You. Another story I found about an African man who gave of his income to save blind children. The story reads this as follows. While ministering in Africa, there was a Christian worker who raised 6 of his children on $10 a month. He told the story of how children in his village were going blind because of a disease that could be prevented with medicine that only costs 50 cents. He began to pray and ask God to send a rich person to the village and to help give the money for the medicine. but no one ever came. And then sometimes we do that at the church. We hope somebody, a millionaire, comes so we can get a building, you know, and this pot of gold at the end of the rainbow mentality. It's natural for us to have as human beings. As he kept praying, God told him something else, that he should give the money to buy the medicine. But with six children and only $10 a month salary, he couldn't see how he can do this. But he and his family prayed and decided that every month they would buy the medicine to help one child. And then the story goes on to say that during a 7-year period, him and his family helped save 84 children from going blind. And to this day, all of his needs for his family are being met. You see, there's lots of stories like this. There's lots of stories like this in our congregation. Do you see a pattern here? That when we designate, it builds our trust. And we see how God is so amazing. See, when we're being selfish, oh, mine, I'm not. You know what happens? We can't see God blessing. We're too busy. The blinders are on. But when you and I have an open-hand approach, things become alive in our life. It grows our faith. And so in 2010, determine annually what's important in your life and give it to God, dedicate it to God, and designate your time, your talents, and your treasures before God. And I have this last thing for you at the bottom. The key to giving, or if you want to call it designating, the key to that is to remember that we are the manager and God is the owner. I am the manager and God, you are the owner. Can we say that together? I am the manager and God is the owner. And we need to sometimes remind ourselves and say that. God, you're the owner of this relationship. You're the owner of this person. I can't change this person, only you can. God, this situation, it's out of my hands. You can change it. And I got to make sure I'm following what your word says to be the person that you've called me to be. You know, that's going to help you this year. When somebody is being demanding of you, you be understanding. When somebody's being crude and rude to you, you take a step back and you say, you know what, I'm going to act like Christ here. But none of that happens if we're too focused on ourselves. We need to be people who designate that which we have, our resources to God, and watch God move in a great way. So I want to challenge you. I remember the words of our great president, John F. Kennedy, when he said, ask not what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. When we talk about dedication, let us not ask what God could do for us in 2010, but let us ask what we can do for the holy purposes of God. Let's pray together and dedicate this year to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Mary and Joseph that followed your word and came to dedicate Jesus. We thank you, God, that they were obedient, and we ask to have that same obedience in our lives, that we would be people that are given to your kingdom plan, that we would be people who look at our lives and see what's important, give you thanks first, and then give it to you. Designate what you've blessed us with to you. To give to you a portion of our time. For us, if we're sitting in this church today, not to give up on our marriage or on our family, no matter what the circumstances are, because you're the God of the impossible. That we can have a fresh start with you. Not because of our religion, but because of what you did on the cross. That there's hope and promise, and it's not blind optimism. It's faith. It's faith in the one who can move mountains. It's faith in the one who parted the Red Sea. It's faith in the one who raised the dead. It's faith in the one who defeated death through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the same power that rose your Son from the dead is the same power that you give us to live in this fresh start with you. But we do it, God, not for our benefit. We do it for your glory. But you're so wonderful, Lord, that even in all of our time of giving back to you, you then turn and give back to us. We're blessed when we bless you. Help us not to be greedy, Help us to be cheerful givers of our lives, dedicating ourselves wholly and solely for your purposes and your kingdom plan. We commit this prayer and we commit this year as a church before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.